gap year between A levels and going to university, or between university and finding work, it is very important to be able to do something demonstrable during that gap year, because the employer who is looking at the CV is going to drill into why you decided to take a gap year. And so after making that decision, what did you do in that gap year? So you need to be able to demonstrate the things I had said earlier. Did you go and volunteer? People love the word volunteering these days. Did you go and volunteer somewhere? Was there a disaster area that you thought that needed your help? Or were you at a kid's orphanage? Or you need to be able to demonstrate that you use that 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, gap year very, very productively. Not that you were out partying for 6 months of it. No, it has to be productive work in that gap year. Very, very important, because you need to be able to explain what you did in a whole year. Because a year is a very long time and you can achieve quite a bit there. So people who go for gap years also tend to get jobs. They do well at interviews because all of a sudden they have more to talk about. Oh, I was in Peru and I did XYZ. Then we moved to Argentina and we did XYZ. So please, if you are taking a gap year, do not waste the gap year sleeping and waking up. Make sure you're doing something. Interestingly, even things being done in church are accepted now. So I spent a gap year working in the church, helping the children's ministry develop programs. It is very, very acceptable. So, okay, questions, please.
Thank you very much. I got four things.
Okay.
The first one is social media. I want you to advise the children about what they put on social media and the impact of it on their CV and what the employer check, because a lot of things go on there. The second point is not all children are well gifted or academically, but they got good brains, but not necessarily academically. Opportunities for apprentices, because I read of a young girl who got apprenticed at the Bank of England instead of going to university. So that's another opportunity for them.
Yep.
The other one is, I know you said subjects don't matter what they study, but anybody wants to do IT, I want to get a good job, I want to go to top university, have to do A-level maths.
Yes.
There's no two-way about it. So people need to understand that in terms of what they do. And you were talking about universities, Russell Group of universities. Go and Google it. That's the university people look for. Thank you.
Okay. Cool. All right, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to start from the back. Russell Group of universities, as he said, if you Google it, it will show you the list of the top universities. But do not be dismayed if you're already in university and you're not in that group. As I said, there are ways to always make sure that changes in your favor. Because I know a lot of people who, you know, haven't gone to Russell Group but are working in the city now. The other thing you said about apprenticeships, very, very important. Some people have taken a decision that they will not go to university for whatever reason. So increasingly, companies are coming up with those kind of programs, apprenticeship programs, where you go in at 18 and you rise through the ranks. That's not a route that I would necessarily recommend, because you will rise through the ranks, but typically you don't rise as quickly as somebody who has gone to university. But it's definitely not a route that I would discount. No, if you feel that for whatever reason you do not want to go to university, then it's a very viable route, and you would end up in the city or wherever you want to work in terms of career-wise. Social media. I could spend the next 6 hours talking about social media. You know, the same way I talked about, you know, your email address, being responsible, you have to be responsible on social media. Do not post pictures that are inappropriate. In fact, you should not even have pictures that are inappropriate. You know, do not write things that are inappropriate. Do not be too opinionated about certain things, because employers, believe it or not, are searching social media, and they are checking, and they're not even just checking for for people who are about to join them, they are checking for their current employees as well. So please, social media is very good, it's very important, but it's also very dangerous. So you need to be wary of that. Young people, Facebook is the key one. You know, Facebook, please be careful what you post. I've spoken to a lot of people who now regret things that they put on Facebook 6-7 years ago. Now they started interviewing for jobs. I interviewed a young lady once. This is not even Facebook now. She had a huge tattoo on her arm. And I said, what is that? And she said, oh, she did it when she was 17. And she never thought that she was ever going to be able to apply for a job in the city. You know, eventually we gave her a job, but on the condition that she would wear long sleeve shirts all the time. You know, so please be careful what you do. You know, as I said, social media is very important. Facebook is a fantastic way to communicate with your friends, but be careful what you put there. Think of things that, would I want to put anything on here that my parents will not be proud of? Once you have that at the back of your mind, then it helps gauge, you know, what you put on there. So please be careful with social media.
I just finished my GCSEs and I'm going to A level now. So what shall I be looking towards? So what shall I be looking now for at this part of my life?
Okay. Do you know what course you want to study?
Right now I'm doing sociology, psychology, and law.
Okay. So what do you want to study in university?
Law.
Law. Okay. So
criminal law or business law.
Okay. So those courses are in the right direction. What you now need to do is to make sure you get the top grades in those courses, because the top grades then enable you get into the top universities, which are the Russell Group, right? So the same way banks and engineering companies go to universities, the top law firms are also there, recruiting the best law graduates. So your task now is to make sure you get your A's, so that you can get into the top university. This is, you are at a perfect age to listen to this, because if you get your top grades, then you go to a top university and then everything else just falls into place. I keep on praying as well.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
When you're filing in an application for a job, you know, sometimes it can be difficult to find a way around questions like, how much would you like to be paid, you know, for the position? Because sometimes you don't know when you overquote or underquote. What would you advise? Thank you.
You have to do your research there. Unfortunately, it depends on the company you're going to work for. So if you're doing HR, let's take HR for example. If you apply for a HR job in Waitrose, the going salary might be £20,000 per annum. However, that same job in the NHS might be £25,000. That same job in a bank might be £35,000. So you need to know the industry and then gauge yourself appropriately there. So the industry is very, very important. The same job in different industries will pay you different amounts of money. So you just have to do research. And if you can find somebody who already works in that kind of job, in that kind of industry, then they should be able to give you a pointer.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You said something about employers looking for students from top universities.
Yeah.
Do you also look for top employers as well as a student, or you just get any job then look for potential top employers while you're in that company?
I would say if you're a top student, look for a top employer. That's a simple answer. Top student, look for a top employer, because the top employer will want you. If you're a top student, there's no point in looking for a mid-tier employer. You know, you need to back yourself. If you know that, yes, I have all my grades, I will get a job. So all you then need to do is, if, for example, in financial services, and also, please, sorry, just to digress a bit, do not do one application and say, yep, I've done it, I'm a top student, and I will get in. No. My story is very convoluted and long. Before I got into employment in the UK, I did over 100 applications. I would wake up in the morning, every single job that I saw that remotely looked like me, I would apply for it. Half of them did not even bother dignifying me with a response. The other half would said, you didn't have UK experience. And then the few who would eventually call me like, nah, we don't want you. So I did well over 100 applications. You should select the top employers. In each industry, you could find 5, 10, in some industries, 12. And say, yeah, I am going to attack these 12 employers. I am going to apply to every single one of them. You know? It's interesting because my wife used to work in financial services as well. And she did online tests, as I said previously. The online test, she did it with one company, and they said she failed. And then she did it with the next company, and they said she passed. And she was wondering, because as far as she was concerned, she hadn't changed her answers significantly. But I think what had happened was the grading system was different. So apply to as many of those top companies as you physically can. Yeah, and these days it's easy. You're not going to be dropping applications here, there. You're going to do everything online. But the risk with that is you get lazy and not do your research. So I said at the beginning of my talk, make sure you research the company. There are certain things that will be similar about yourself. You want to copy and paste those, that's all well and good. But make sure it's for that company. As I said, do not say you are applying to Ernst & Young because PricewaterhouseCoopers is a fantastic place to work. You know, so please just apply to the top companies. As I said, top students, the top employers want you. Don't undersell yourself. However, if you're a mid-tier student, then you can do the mid-tier companies and try the top as well. But as a top tier, expect to get a top tier job.
Okay. Shola, there's one question here, but I'll just take. Only this week, just like last week, the Prime Minister was addressing a conference and he said something about names. Yeah. Names that are not English names. Yeah. How does that affect recruitment from your perspective? Does it affect recruitment when you talk from headhunting like that? Does that add any effect on whether they're going to give you a job or not? Whether you have an African name or thereabout, or you have an African background, does that affect in there?
To be honest, it does sometimes. But these days, increasingly, I'm finding out that a lot of people in recruitment and even in HR departments of companies are having names like mine. My name is Adeshola Lanikwekun. Right? So when I was working in London, one of the recruiters in Goldman Sachs was a Ugandan lady. You know, there was another person from JP Morgan, I think, who was from Ghana. You know, so all of a sudden, and that's why I said we need to get in there, right? As many of the more of us that get in there, the better chances that we have. Typically, people try to recruit themselves. You know, so we have some departments in my office where every single person in that department went to Cambridge University. And they're all white male. We're trying to change that. But it will take time. But I would not tell you to go and change your name. Leave your name as it is. Let your CV speak for itself. You know?
Please. Very important. When you're naming your child, okay, don't jump name because you want to name that child, okay? And that's becoming a problem for us. Because I'm not being serious, okay? Keep it very, very what? Simple. Honestly. Keep it simple. Okay? I know you want to be very, very, very spiritual, but keep it what? Simple. Because let's not be serious, okay? The world, hello. The world is a global village. Okay, and the point we're saying is that keep it what? Simple.
Most of your advice is for people doing the undergraduates. What about people that are doing the postgraduate? For example, my master's, does that put me in the same level to apply for graduate training schemes, or can I apply for better jobs?
If you didn't have, if you don't have any work experience immediately after your first degree, you've gone to do a master's, you typically need to apply for a graduate job.
Even if I have like an internship?
Yeah, even if you have an internship, yes. What your master's will do for you at that point is you're probably likely to rise through the organization faster than those who don't have the master's. But typically because you still don't have any work experience, effectively. So they would want you to apply for the graduate role, and then hopefully the knowledge from your master's will let you rise through the ranks faster. Although there are a few companies who have roles for master's and PhD students, but they're very, very few.
Okay, the first question I want to ask you is, for like, if you finish your undergraduate degree, you have two choices. Is it to go into a company you're passionate about, or just to go into a job because you have to get a job? Because most people get confused, like, should I go into a company where I'm passionate about? And then you get confused along that passionate step as well, that, okay, there's so many companies, which one do I decide for? Or do I just get a job according to the pay rise and how I feel?
If you get a job because of money, that would be a mistake, because you might end up hating the job, and at a young age, you might not want to even work again. So you need to get a job that you're actually passionate about. In terms of selecting which one, you need to do your research on that. Why? You need to decide why you are passionate about that job. Yeah. So that will now lead you into which company actually does that. If you're passionate about, I said, sustainability, for example, so you want a company where, you know, they don't use light bulbs, for example, you need to do a lot of research. Okay, which companies, you know, recycle everything? That will help you. But you need to know what you want to do. Why are you passionate about it? You know? Why am I passionate about Arsenal? Because if I had a company, I would get Arsene Wenger as my CEO, because he will not waste our money. You know? So, those are the kind of things. However, we might not win any trophies, but, you know.
So thank you very much for the presentation. I just have some three questions. The first one, based on your experience,
yes.
Of what parts is there any age limit for applications?
Okay.
You know, then the second one is, now we know, of course, things that have been happening of recent with respect to visa legislations. From your experience, if you see a very smart student but just has maybe a Nigerian passport, do you see any restrictions in terms of recruitment, or your company sometimes always goes the extra mile to do like visa applications or work permits on behalf of the person? The next one is, you were saying something about applying for the big schools and applying for the big jobs. Now, what is your recommendation? Because we know, now you gave a very good example of over 150 jobs, you had over 10,000 people. Is it not a good idea, even though you are an extremely smart person, to expand or narrow or broaden your horizon by also applying for the mid-tier jobs, so that you could use the opportunity to gain some experience and prove your mettle? Then later on, the big employers see your experience and they might actually come and head-hunting for you. And my final question is there any part of recommendations? Yeah, you might not be too good or all that, but you are someone like you now, and I put, let's say, hey, I know HR head, you know, in Dubai. Does that help my CV, or is just going to be like, okay, yeah, you know, referencing?
sometimes it helps, sometimes it doesn't, right? Because as much as possible, we like to say we recruit based on meritocracy and not who you know, right? However, if you're writing a cover letter, you know, and you say, oh, at a certain event, you met XYZ person who explained how fantastic the company was, and you see yourself being part of it, there's no harm in that, you know. To your other point regarding top students applying for mid-tier jobs, I'm not against that, but I would rather the top students focus on the top jobs, because I feel if you're a top student and you back yourself, you know, God willing, you'll get it. You know, but if you're a mid-tier, then I would say, yeah, do mid-tier and top-tier, and hopefully you'll find a level there. Regarding work permits, the example I'll give is, I came to this country with a Nigerian passport, but my company was happy with that, and every time there was a need to do the work permit applications, they did it. And I think that's the thing with top companies. The top companies have a good quota, right? So if they see the appropriate candidate, they do not have a problem, you know, applying for a work permit on your behalf. It will just take one or two trips to the home office and it will get done. I have not seen anybody in my company get declined for a work permit, you know? And there are companies that are even bigger than my company, you know? Loads of companies. So I'm going to take your question, and then there's something, just remind me in case I forget, SEO.
Okay. Hi, my
Age limit. For graduate roles, there is no official age limit, but typically companies would say they want people who have graduated within the last 3 years. And the reason why it's called a graduate program is so that you're coming fresh and they're able to mold you into whatever they want. You're not coming with any preconceived ideas of, oh, I worked in that company for 15 years and this is how we did it. You know, they want to be able to mold you into what they want within that company.
Okay? Hi, my question is just for parents that have got children, maybe in secondary schools, GCSEs, maybe not necessarily in their A-levels yet.
Okay.
What kind of exposure would you encourage parents to give their children? Because sometimes you can be a top student and get a top job, but sometimes you find it really difficult to fit in when you actually do get in there. Or sometimes you might not be able to relate to some of the things that are happening around you just because you lack the exposure. So apart from going to school and having 10 different lesson teachers to teach them maths, English, science, what other exposure would you recommend parents give their children to help them along?
Good. That's a very good question, because increasingly companies are adopting something called bring your child to work. You know? So if you have friends who work in other companies, ask them whether they have that kind of programs available, and then just tell them to take your kid in, or whoever's kid in, for it. Sometimes it's for a day, sometimes it's for 3 days, just to see what happens in the work environment, you know. So I know I have taken one of my nieces to work before. I'm like, oh, this is where I sit, these are all my colleagues, this is what we do on a day-to-day basis, just to give them an idea of what goes on in the workplace. So for that, you need to talk to your friends who work in corporate organizations, you know, where that exists, so that they just take them in. It's a really, really good opportunity for kids to see what happens. So you don't just wake up every morning and go somewhere. This is where you actually go, you know, and this is what you do, and this is how you make a difference in your company.
Sorry, I'll go to Uncle.
Okay.
While I'm going to ask a question. What about they said everybody can do any course in a university?
Typically. Other technical courses.
Technical courses.
Yeah.
So what about when they're doing their A-levels now? We had this discussion some time ago,
okay,
and I was guilty of it, so I put up my hand. About sometimes we look at some traditional courses,
yes,
and we now say, oh, these are the courses you need to do, and not looking at the strength of our children.
Yeah.
Now, should we begin to look at the strength of our children? Now you say we can do any course.
Yeah.
We can look at the strength of our children so that we look at, oh, they are the best, even if they are best in Yoruba, if there's Yoruba in levels.
Yes.
You say they are best in Yoruba and they are best in Igbo dancing.
Yes.
We put them together and they get the best of them into the university,
yes,
so that they can be top and you can hunt them. Is that
yes,
the advice?
Yes.
So how do we do that? Do we just do a blanket of their best courses and let them do anything they are good at? Please.
No, you need to start speaking with them before their GCSEs to find out what their interests are. There's no point in somebody who hates blood wanting to do medicine. You know, there's no point in that. So are they numerate? If they are numerate, it's usually engineering. By the way, a lot of people we hire into a bank, because I work in a bank, are engineers. You know, they've just decided to leave the engineering field for whatever reason, because these people are highly numerate. So we tend to take them, they do better on the, you know, on the tests and all that. So if somebody is very numerate, then if they're not going to do the traditional banking or accountancy or finance related courses, and they're going to do engineering, the important thing is, if you decide that they're going to do engineering, then you need them to do courses that will get them into engineering. If you're going to do engineering, there's no point doing sociology or law as your A-levels. You will not get into engineering. So that's the precursor. You need to identify what they want to do and then tailor the courses they're going to do during A-levels to get them into that course. And then once they're in, graduate with a good grade, they can then decide what they want to do.
Yeah, thank you.
No problem, sir.
The question I want to ask is very, very simple. Okay. The other time you talk about top universities.
Yes.
By definition of your top, are you talking of in England or in Europe at large vis-a-vis in Africa? That's number one question. Hold it.
Okay.
Fine. The second question is, in the course of recruitment, I'm coming with a university degree from Nigeria, with a very sound grade, 2-1 minimum. Okay, I got here. Now I'm looking for a job. Now somebody who graduates here, in one of the universities here, I don't know whether to now say the top or bottom, but we now apply for a job, right? Does the one who actually graduated here has upper hand over mine or not? Does he have upper hand? Then another thing is, now, do they have equal footing in your recruitment exercise at the end of the day? Now, another one is, a Nigerian graduate who comes down here with a maybe second class upper, he comes to do a master's degree. He has an excellent grade. All right? Another person here who just have a first degree. Right? When the two of them apply to your company, who takes precedence? Or who comes first in the course of recruitment?
Okay. It depends on what they've applied for. Right? So if it's a graduate program that they've applied for, it's equal.
Yes.
Right? However, if it's for an experienced role, so let's say the person from Nigeria has 3 years work experience, the person from here has same 3 years work experience, typically the person here will get precedence, because they always talk about this UK work experience, which is what I always say. Even though you can see that the person from Nigeria has probably better, you know, more sound experience, but because this person has done his in the UK, because at the end of the day, unfortunately, some of the companies do not rate the employment system in Nigeria as highly as we do, you know. So some of us who have worked in Nigeria know how tough it can be, but they don't rate it as much here, unfortunately. So the person for an experience level job, but that is actually changing though. Increasingly, more and more people tend to want people from diverse backgrounds. You know, so all of a sudden, in offices now where there used to be rooms filled with white males, they are saying actually, we need to have some Africans in there. We need to have some Indians in there. And that kind of leads me into there's a company called SEO. They're called Sponsors for Educational Opportunities. The website is www.seo-london.com. They work with a lot of companies in the city. Engineering firms, law firms, banks, professional services companies. So they help people from ethnic minority backgrounds into those big companies, people who otherwise would probably not get into those companies. So they liaise with the companies, they do the interviews and they say, okay, SEO, we want you to provide us with 5 interns for this year. So it's a very, very good way of people also getting in. It's SEOlondon.com. It's very well known amongst the big companies. At first, I wasn't a big supporter of the program. And the reason why I wasn't really a big supporter is I believe as a black person, you should be able to get in on merit rather than through a diversity program, which is what SEO is. But over the years, I've changed my mind a bit about that because, as somebody mentioned, sometimes when your name is longer than 2 or 3 syllables, it becomes a problem. So SEO provides that bridge to get, you know, people into those companies. It's I'm plugging the name of the company. I have nothing to do with them. As I said, I didn't even like them in the beginning. So, but I know so many black people and Indians who have got into the city via this company. But that doesn't mean you should. People that SEO assist still have their grades. So the grades are still very, very important. I think we should round up now. Then I will take other questions offline so that people who want to go
I think there'll be a round so we can answer those questions. I know people want to ask some questions. Let's just clap.